This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy is sponsored by the Education and Outreach Team for the Messenger Mission to Planet Mercury. Follow the mission as the spacecraft helps to unlock the secrets of the inner solar system at www.messenger-education.org.
It's the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast, coming in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, host of the AAAS radio show and podcast Science Update. Everyone knows that Superman is faster than a speeding bullet, that he's able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, and that he sees through solid walls with his X-ray vision. Fewer people know that the Messenger spacecraft, now in orbit around the planet Mercury, is also faster than a speeding bullet. In fact, it's gone 10 times faster. It too can leap tall buildings, not to mention entire planets, and it also has X-ray vision. But it doesn't use the X-ray vision to peer through walls. I spoke with geologist and Messenger postdoctoral fellow Shoshana Weider, who studies data collected by Messenger's X-ray spectrometer, or XRS, at the Carnegie Institution's Geophysical Lab in Washington, D.C. She explains that Messenger's XRS doesn't produce X-rays. It relies on the sun for that.
When the sun is active, it has solar flares of different sizes. And if one of these solar flares is strong enough, the X-rays which are emitted during that solar flare can hit the surface of another planet in the inner solar system, such as Mercury, such as the Moon. As long as those planets don't have an atmosphere to absorb those incoming X-rays, those X-rays can excite the atoms within the surface of the planet. Electrons move around in those atoms, and an X-ray equivalent to the change in energy of the electrons that have moved is emitted from the atom. And because energy levels within atoms are characteristic to each element, we can detect the energy of those X-rays and work out from which atom they've come. So whether it's come from a magnesium atom or if it's come from a calcium atom, by the energy of that X-ray. And so we use instruments on different missions, such as Messenger, to measure these X-rays and how many of them there are. And then we can start to quantify the amount of these different elements within the surface.
Huh. And how fine is it? Are you measuring from this big swath of surface, or is it just a tiny little area?
Well, a bit of both, to be honest. So we only see down to a depth of about 100 microns. Right. So that's less than a millimeter. So we're seeing a very thin layer of the surface. However, we see wide areas on the surface. With Messenger, it varies because we have this elliptical orbit around the planet. So our spatial resolution on the planet varies with where we are in the orbit, but we can see down to about 100 kilometer resolution with Messenger.
But you want solar activity. I know a lot of the people in the instruments don't want solar activity, but it helps you?
Yes. We kind of run a fine line in that we need the solar activity to produce our data, but anything too big, any of these huge X-ray flares, will knock out the instruments. And we run a fine line of wanting nice activity, but not too much that the instruments are disabled.
Over the past 15 months, as the Messenger spacecraft has been in orbit around Mercury, Dr. Weider says they've gotten a wealth of data about the planet's surface composition, especially regarding the lower energy elements.
So whenever we look at the planet, no matter what the solar activity is at the moment, we get data for magnesium, aluminium, silicon. Okay. And then as the solar activity increases, we see data for elements such as the sulfur and the calcium. And then at the strongest levels of solar activity, we get data for titanium and iron.
She says the results they got were surprising.
So very early on in the mission, we were seeing this strong signal for sulfur that was unexpected. The amount of sulfur on the surface of Mercury is about 10 times higher than you get on any other terrestrial planet. That was a big surprise. And we're confirming the fact that there's very little iron on the surface of Mercury.
Many scientists had thought that Mercury's large iron core could be explained by a catastrophic event early in the planet's life that stripped off the outer layers of the crust, leaving a relatively larger core. But any such event would have also stripped away most of the sulfur and other volatile elements. The XRS results meant that Mercury could not have formed that way. Instead, Dr. Shoshana and her colleagues are trying to determine what sorts of chondritic meteor material could have formed the planet, and the conditions that would explain the planet's odd composition. More recently, XRS has been returning valuable data concerning vast volcanic plains on Mercury's northern hemisphere.
And from those data, we're seeing that the northern plains, which is this large area of volcanic material, what's known as a flood basalt, is chemically distinct from the surrounding material on the planet. And we're seeing that it's poorer, it's got less magnesium, calcium and sulfur, and higher amounts of aluminium.
And what does that tell the scientists?
It tells us that the eruption style, the eruption temperatures, the age of this material is different. So that the volcanic plains are younger than the material that surrounds it. And it's from our data, it seems that they were erupted from cooler magmas and therefore maybe have come from different parts of the mantle. So we're seeing chemical heterogeneities within the mantle.
She says they're now starting to compare the northern volcanic plains data with data from other volcanic plains on the planet.
So there's ones within and around the Chloris Basin, which is the largest impact basin on Mercury. And we can start to see that the material within Chloris Basin is similar to the stuff which is in the volcanic northern volcanic plains. And so we can start to draw conclusions of if the volcanic plains on a whole over the whole planet formed in similar ways and from similar material to the stuff that is the older material that surrounds them.
Now, while Dr. Weider refers to the material in these plains as younger, that's a very relative term in this case. The oldest surfaces on the planet date back about 4.5 billion years, while the younger plains are a mere 3 billion years old.
That's what's exciting about planets like the Moon and Mercury, is that the surfaces are so old that we can look at what the Earth might have looked like 4.5 billion years ago, rather than, you know, the resurfaced planet that we see today with covered in water and plate tectonics has destroyed a lot of the material on Earth.
Studying this primordial material will help Dr. Shoshana and the rest of the science team better understand not only the formation of Mercury, but the conditions that existed in the early solar system, and provide clues to the origin of Earth as well. Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please leave comments and let me know what you think and suggest ideas for future podcasts. Thanks for listening. For the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast, I'm Bob Hirshon.
Additional sponsorship for this episode of 365 Days of Astronomy was provided by itelescope.net, expanding your horizons in astronomy today. The premier on-demand telescope network at dark sky sites in Spain, New Mexico, and Siding Spring, Australia.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.